All right, we're ending a series that we've entitled The Life of a Champion. In this series, we looked at many different things. It's been a great series. I've really enjoyed it. I don't know if you have, but you know, it's not about me either. This series has been great because we've looked at in the series that champions are not defined by wins and losses, where our world really kind of defines a champion by wins and losses. Champions are actually made through successes and failures in life. They are also, champions are made through adversity and how adversity spurs us on and how it strengthens us. Last week, Howard talked, and he did a great job. He talked about how champions live intentionally. They take advantage of the moment, and they use that moment to its fullest capacity. And you can write this down if you'd like. It's on your handout. But champions never quit. Champions don't look for the easy way out. Champions don't look for the easy road. They don't quit. Quitting's not an option, in other words, for them. You see it in every sport. You see it in life. People that are champions, they're not looking for when do I tap out. They actually don't have that tap out button. They really keep pushing. They keep going no matter what the adversity looks like. Like I said, this is a series that is not about sports. This is a series that is about us as individuals and how we live this life of faith that God has called us, each one, to live. Every single one of us are called to this life of faith. How do you function in that life? That's what we're looking at. How you run is important. Here's a scripture. It's found in 1 Corinthians 9, and Paul says it this way. You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs. Only one wins. So run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. Other translations say that does not perish. Goes on and says, I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else all about it, and then missing out myself. Trust me, there is a big difference between the person who just is in the race and running and the person who is actually running to win. There's a big difference. If you've ever been in any kind of a race, you understand that. There are those that are just participants, and then there are those that are different. This scripture is really saying, don't just be a participant, be a pace setter. Don't just be a participant, don't just be somebody who's in the race and just running to be running. Be a pace setter. If you're going to be in the race, be a pace setter. I don't know if you've ever signed up for something that your heart wasn't into. I have. I didn't sign up for it, actually. I was in the fourth grade, and I remember it like it was yesterday because it was just a short time ago, but I was fourth grade, and one day the coach came to me and he said, Dave, listen, I really need you, and I signed you up for the 100-yard dash. And I said, Coach, listen, look at me, I'm not a runner. He said, no, Dave, you can do this. He says, we're going to work with you. We have practices that you have to be at. And I'm thinking, what the heck? I didn't sign up for this. And now I've got to go and be at practices. And I remember he also said, you know, I know that you don't think you can do it, Dave, but you can do what we need you to do. I got roped into something I didn't want to get roped into, something I didn't sign up for. The school actually needed a runner. Otherwise, they would have to forfeit the race. We would have had to. And it would have hurt our standings in this track meet. So they didn't necessarily need somebody to win. They needed somebody to finish the race. And I remember the coach coming to me and say, Dave, just run as hard as you can. And I don't know if you've ever been in this situation where you're nervous and your nerves are so great that your mind takes a Kodak snapshot of the moment and you remember it for like years and years to come. That's exactly how this was. I still have the Kodak moment in my mind. I mean, I can still see, I know what lane I was in. I remember what it looked like. I remember how I felt. And I remember I was in this running stance and the gun goes off, shocked me. And I started running as hard as I could. And I remember just thinking, run as hard as you can, Dave, run as hard as you can. And I ran like I've never run in my life. And would you believe it? I came in dead last. I know you're probably not surprised. Let's put it this way. By the time I crossed the line, the participants that I was racing against were smoking cigarettes and cheering me on. That's how bad. No, they weren't doing that. But they were. I was embarrassed. I felt like a loser. I remember crossing the finish line and just wanting to be alone. And the coach ran over to me and he said, "Dave, that was a great job." And he wasn't just blowing smoke. He could tell he meant it. "Dave, it's exactly what we needed. Great job." It allowed me to believe in myself. I still don't believe I'm a runner, and neither does he. But I tell you that story because sometimes we find ourselves in a race we didn't sign up for. Sometimes we find ourselves in places that we did not sign up to participate in. In fact, I would even say there are some people that said, "You know what, I came to church and I wanted to start a relationship with Jesus, and the next thing I know, I'm being told I'm in a race that I didn't sign up for." And what happens is fear kind of sets in because we go, "Dude, I'm not a runner." Because when we think about this and we hear that scripture, what we think about is, "I got to run to win." But man, there are so many other people that are so much more spiritual than me. I can't even place in this race. So why even try? Because the fear of failure comes in and we just want to quit. It's like, "This is not me. I am not the spiritual person." And all of a sudden I'm in a race and I'm being told I got to run to win the race. Paul is not saying you have to come in first. That's important to know. Paul is not saying you have to come in first. What Paul is saying is simply this: run with everything you have. Run with everything you've got. Don't just be a participant. Don't just fill the lane and jog. If you're going to be in the race, run with everything that you have. That's all you have to do. That your heart would be completely into it. Not just running because you're being told to run. Whether it's a Super Bowl or whether it's a Stanley Cup or whether it's a World Series or any kind of championship or competition, every champion pursues a goal. There is, in fact, I would say you'll find that in all sports, they're not just out there for the recreation of it. They're not just out there thinking, "You know what, I need some time to run around on the field and I need the exercise and that's why I signed up for this. No, every athlete that is out on the field has a goal. Every single one. Every athlete wants to win. It's inside of them. They're not just participants. Every athlete wants to win. It is a goal for them. It is a focal point for them. If you're an athlete, you do understand that. You don't just want to come in second because second might as well be last. You want to win. Here's the other thing. While every athlete wants to win, every champion wants to do their best. And there is a big difference. Every athlete may want to win, but an athlete who wants to win is even willing to compromise character, compromise rules, compromise in many different ways in order to accomplish the win. A champion is somebody much different whose character is intact, and they actually know, "All I'm here to do is do my very best and hope and pray that I win. Hope that my training has prepared me for a win, but I can do nothing more than my very best," and that is what they focus on. And I say there's a big difference between those two, because it's not about that they want to lose, and it's not about lowering the bar and saying, "Oh, you know what, I'll just do my best, and whatever happens, happens." That's not the case. What they know is that there are going to be losses in life. What they understand is they cannot win 100% of the time. But what they can do 100% of the time is their very best. That is what Paul is asking us to do. He's saying, do your very best. Fastest man in the world, Usain Bolt, ran the 200-meter race in the 2004 Olympics in Athens, and he came in fifth. And every person, every athlete has their losses. Vince Lombardi said this: "It's not whether you get knocked down, it's about really whether or not you get up." Because we're all going to get knocked down. If you're in this race, you are going to get tripped up and you are going to get knocked down. That is not the issue. The real issue is, are you going to be able to get up? Will you get up? Hebrews 12 says this: "Since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses for this life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run the Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Endurance. Talking about perseverance and how endurance and perseverance correlate and just how important that is in an athlete's life. But again, this isn't about athletes. How this is important in our life of faith. How important is perseverance in a Christian's life? See, it's probably more important than you think. We got to look at the definition. The definition of perseverance is this: steadfastness or unwavering in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. Steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. And here's the challenge that comes with perseverance. It's really in the definition itself, and that is this: perseverance is developed in problems. Perseverance is developed in our lives through the problems that we face. And I would bet that every single one of us have problems. I don't know if you've ever heard somebody say, don't pray for patience, because when you pray for patience, God gives you somebody that's going to try your patience, and it's really in the trying of your patience that patience gets developed in our lives. So people say, don't pray for patience. Pray for something like money or something like that. Pray for something like, I don't want to be greedy, or, you know, but don't pray for patience because it's going to put you in an environment where your patience is tested. Perseverance is the very same way. It's formed in that same process. Here's the way the scripture says it in James 1. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Another example Paul gives in Romans says this: we also glory in our sufferings and in our problems, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. I don't know if you've ever gone through a difficult time with all the emotional demands and the drains that you experience where you just want to quit and walk away. It happens way too often in marriages where people are like, you know what, it's just too demanding, it's too draining, I can't do it anymore, and people walk away from marriage. People, it happens to them with their friendships. It also happens with people that just walk away from God, period. Because the problems that they face, it's almost like we feel like, if God really loved me, then all the problems that I have, God will take care of and remove them so I can just have this nice, comfortable life. And we all know that that's not how God works. The absence of problems does not make a comfortable life. It actually makes a spoiled life, and we become more susceptible and we become weaker, as we're going to look at. What happens when we get so drained and we walk away from marriages and relationships and God is the problems that we face get so big that and so consuming that we're incapable of seeing the value of what we're walking away from. Think about it. People have been married for 20 years and they'll walk away from that marriage because the problem is just so ginormous and so big and it's so much hurt and all these different things. And we walk away, and walking away is better, is a viable option, because we've lost the value of what we're walking away from. We become so blinded. Listen, it happens all the time, even in relationships with God, that the problems get so big that people will actually walk away from God, and because they've lost the value of who he is. They've lost the value of what he wants and what he can do in their life. I would think that most of us would agree that perseverance is a good thing. And I want to look at some benefits of perseverance. There are many. I'm just giving you a few of them this morning. But first of all, perseverance develops strength for our future. We all need strength for the future. I'm not talking about years and years and years down the road, but I may be talking about months down the road. You need strength for your future, spiritual strength for what you're going to face in your future. And all of us are going to face different times, different trials, different testings. And all those testings are important, and we need strength for them. I'll tell you, nothing depletes strength like quitting. Because what happens is quitting becomes a benchmark. It almost becomes a standard of what we are capable of enduring. Have you ever had that? Where you go through a difficult time and you just quit? And then the next time you go, you know what? I'm not even going to try. I quit before. I'm not even going to try again. I couldn't make it then, so why am I going to make it now? People, we feel like the quitting is the answer, when really the quitting becomes a benchmark that kind of marks our lives and we never move past it. We actually lose strength that we need for our spiritual future. You might have heard this illustration before. I was recently reminded of this illustration. A man loved caterpillars very much, and he loved the process of the transformation of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, and how something that crawled and hugged the earth could actually transform and no longer crawl the earth, but actually fly and soar in the air. There's two totally different dichotomies of this one animal, this one insect. And so what he did is he took a caterpillar and he put it in an aquarium or an atrium, and he put this caterpillar, and he began to watch the transformation process, and sure enough, weeks later, the caterpillar began to spin its cocoon. And lo and behold, after weeks, you could begin to see that this caterpillar was, wings were starting to be formed inside of this cocoon, and there was this great struggle, this caterpillar struggling to get out of the cocoon. And it struggled and struggled, and as the man watched it for days, as he watched the struggle, he began to have sympathy for this caterpillar, now becoming a butterfly, and he took his knife out and he cut the cocoon so that the caterpillar could be free and begin to fly. And if you heard the story, you know that the caterpillar fell to the ground and died. Because caterpillars, butterflies that are actually breaking free of the cocoon, has to develop strength inside of the cocoon that is going to actually give them strength they need for life, to live. And by letting that young butterfly free from the struggle, it no longer had the strength to actually live the life it was designed to live. And I say that because we're the same way. I can't tell you how many times people pray for God to deliver them from problems when the problems are actually the very thing that are going to give us the strength that we need for the future that God has for us. I'll even say it a different way. I believe that many of us cannot live the life that God has for us because we've not stuck with it. Because the process is we go through these difficulties and we quit. Stop coming to church. That's it. You know what? Everybody in church is a hypocrite. I don't need them. I'm not coming anymore. We're all hypocrites. We know that. We're recovering. We're being healed of that. But what we do is we just say, you know what? I can't, and we stop. And therefore, when we stop, we don't develop the strength that we need for what God has for us in the future, and we kind of live dormant lives. See, perseverance develops strength we need for the future. Another benefit of perseverance is it keeps us from a mediocre life. And a mediocre life, what I mean by that is an unchallenged life. Especially in our world and in our culture and in our country, people just want the white picket fence and they want everything nice and easy and handed to them. We don't necessarily want anything more. Difficulties are nothing more than challenges that expand our capabilities. They actually push us to new heights. They push us to accomplish more than what we think we can accomplish. And while challenges cause us to contemplate quitting, the life of a champion never quits. See, when you're discouraged, when you're tired and you're ready to quit, sometimes we have to remind ourselves that we're settling for something far less than what God has for us. When difficulties are there and problems arise and the struggle is real, there's no doubt about that. When you become discouraged, rather than looking for a way out, sometimes we need to recognize, you know what? This struggle has a purpose in my life, and it is a purpose that I'm going to need in the future. Therefore, it's not about getting out of it. I need to figure out how to remain in it until God wants me out of it. Another benefit of perseverance is this: it allows us to experience the rewards of life. When we quit, we do not experience the rewards. If you're an athlete and you quit in the mid-season, you do not experience the rewards of a winning season. You do not experience the rewards of the unity of a team or the strength of a team. If you're in a marriage and you quit, you do not experience the rewards that come from working out your problems with your spouse. When you quit, you just think, hey, this is a viable option. This is an opportunity because there's irreconcilable differences. We cannot make it. And you never understand. Listen, I'll tell you. There is no perfect marriage. And I will also say that when you look at older people, and you watch their lives as they grow old, and you watch the care and the tenderness of aging people that are living together and have lived together for a long time, it's because they've worked through the difficult times that they get to experience that. It's the same with being a Christian. There's a lot of Christians that walk away from God and they never experience the rewards of following Christ. Because God doesn't reward us just boom, 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 bang, 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 you know, like, hey, you took one step of faith, hey, here's the reward. That's not how God works. It's a life that trusts Him and walks with Him that over time there's a reward, but a lot of times we get discouraged and we just stop. I don't know if you've ever climbed Half Dome. I did once and God told me to never do that again, so I'm listening to Him. It was not a pretty sight. But if you've ever been to Half Dome, one of the things that I do remember, because I've tried to block so much of it out of my mind, but as I'm climbing up this hill, this endless mountain, I'm climbing and climbing, that you get to this place where you think, surely the end is in sight. This has to be the end. And there comes to this, you're looking up as you're climbing, and it appears as though you're reaching the crest of the mountain. And it appears like, man, this is it. And all I have to do is get to that point. And so I'm going to struggle and I'm going to make it. And you do. You're just like one foot right after the other. Come on, Dave, you can do this as hard as you can. And you get to that turn and you realize you're nowhere near the top. Listen, perseverance causes us to push through the difficulties to enjoy the rewards. And the reward of going on Half Dome is looking out over the valley, that vast expanse and that picture that you get, that Kodak moment that you get in your mind from looking out over this valley. I mean, granted, I've got a death grip on the rock while I'm looking at this valley, but I'm looking, and you can't explain it. No pictures can do justice to it. But you would never experience that without going through the difficulties. You would not experience the reward of it. Here's what Galatians 6:9 says. This is one of those bathroom verses, and my mom had this verse hanging on her bathroom wall. So every time you were in there, you read it. And it says this, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." What happens is perseverance alters our perspective. That's a part of this, is that how perseverance alters our perspective, what we focus on. How do you develop an attitude, or how do you develop a mindset that I'm going to stick with it come hell or high water? I'm going to stick with it no matter how tough it gets. I'm not going to allow quitting to be any kind of an option in my life. Perseverance is developed when we focus on the goal ahead. Hebrews 12 says it this way, "Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us, and we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith." And then listen to what it says. "Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." Do you think that Jesus felt like quitting? I can absolutely tell you I believe he did. I think the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." That was him saying, "I don't really want to go through with this. This is too big for me. Nevertheless, what you want, that's what I'm going to do." The cross was a challenge that had to be overcome. It was a challenge that had to be experienced. The goal had to be reached. And what was the goal that Jesus had? Why did he go through that challenge? What was the goal that was on his mind? What kept him to the experience and not allow himself to quit? And the goal was simply this: relationship with you. Just think about that. What allowed him, when it was so difficult, what allowed him and pushed him and encouraged him to, like, not give up when everything inside of him wanted to was the goal, and that was relationship with you. He was the only one who could pay the price for that our sin. He kept his eyes on the prize. He kept his eyes on you. Perseverance is also developed when we focus on Jesus. We look at that scripture again, and it says, "We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith." And keeping your eyes on Jesus is more than staring at a picture. It's more than having this picture in your back wallet, it's in your back pocket. And when things get really tough, you pull that picture out, and you go, okay, fixing my eyes on Jesus. That's not where it, that's not what it means. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, we're relying on him for strength. We're processing how he did what he did and why he did what he did, so that when we go through difficult times, we do it the very same way. We have to be focused on what is the goal of a problem. When you're going through a time of discouragement, there is a goal that is there. Do you know what the goal is in your life? God's strengthening you. He's strengthening you for the future. Everything about our lives is shaped and formed because of God. And when he brings these trying times, rather than pray your way out of them, maybe you should say, God, give me the strength in them so that your purpose is carried out in my life and I can be everything that you want me to be through this adversity that I face. I don't know if you've ever noticed, you get more strength when you see what other people are capable of. We're honored today to have Kevin here with us. I mean, if you don't know the story, just like a couple weeks ago, we're watching the Super Bowl and sitting on a couch right here planning dinner for the following day that never happened because they found out he had a brain tumor and they did surgery the next day. And just to see what God is doing, I'm amazed at God. You're okay, Kevin. I'm amazed at God. But here's the deal. I go to visit Kevin. I'm walking through the hallways of the hospital, and you look through it. You can't help. You're walking through, and you see people on your left, and you look, and you see people on your right. And you watch people going through rehab, and you watch people going through challenges and difficulties. And you just think, good night. If they can go through that, surely I don't have anything to complain about. Have you ever felt that way? You watch people, and you go, I look at Kevin. I'm like, man, I'm impressed with you. And somehow that gives me strength for the things that I face. See, that scripture goes on to say it this way. When we're fixing our eyes on Jesus, it says, think of the hostility that he endured from sinful people, and then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. I don't think it's any accident that it says, think of the hostility that he endured from sinful people, because most of the things that drain us and bring discouragement, most of the things that cause us to want to quit, whether it's your relationship with God or your spouse or whatever, it's people, right? People just have this effect on us that you just want to quit. The scripture says, think of the hostility that he endured from people, and he didn't quit. And what it's saying is, you don't have to quit either. Philippians 4:13 tells us that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. But we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the champion, the one who went before us, the one who when we look at, we go, gosh, if he could make it, so can I. You can be seated for just a moment. You know, we don't get strength by looking at our problems. We don't get strength from running from our problems. We don't get strength from quitting. We only get strength when we turn to face Jesus, to look at him, to study how he did it, to ask him for strength in the difficulties that we go through. Perseverance is important because what God is doing in us is more important than what's happening to us. What God is doing in us is way more important than what's happening to us. And what happens is sometimes we want to walk away and quit because of what's happening to us, and then what God wants to do in us doesn't get accomplished. Let me read a scripture for you as we close. Paul writes it. He says, he's writing it to a church, probably like ours. And he says this, we pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength that God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy. Thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that he has for us. I want you to close your eyes if you would. Just listen to me with your eyes closed. Because I know I know that God's speaking to your hearts. There's absolutely no doubt. And you might be here this morning, you might think, you know what? I'm discouraged. I don't have any motivation. I'm planning on leaving my spouse. And I would say, God's bigger. Don't throw something that valuable away. Or maybe it's even a friendship that you're like contemplating walking away from a longtime friend. And I would say, the friendship has great value. Don't throw it away. Or maybe you're just discouraged, and maybe through whatever going on in your life, you've even thought about walking away from God, or you walk away from serving people because people just have burned you. And I would say this, serving God is way more valuable, and God has a purpose in this. Would you bow your heads one more time and let's pray. Father, again, I'm so thankful for every person that is here, and I know that your Spirit is here. I know that you're speaking to the hearts of people, and I know that those that are discouraged and those that have felt like giving up, Father, I know that you want to give them new strength. Those that want to begin a relationship with you, Father, I know you're speaking to them. I know right now that the hearts of people are contemplating your words to them. Father, just help us not to lose this moment, but to take advantage of this moment and let you do what we are unable to do. Father, thank you for every person that is here and the purpose that you have in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.